This piece was brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, heritagefoodsusa.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Business.
We met up with Sylvia in the parking lot of the McDonald's in Sturgis. Sturgis is halfway up the western edge of South Dakota, and it's most famous for the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, one of the largest motorcycle events in the world. But the sprawling, city block-sized biker bars were deserted this time of year. We left the outskirts of town and passed Bear Butte, a lonely outpost of the Black Hills that towers over the prairie lands. Sylvia Christian is the executive director of the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. Her job description includes helping local ranch families navigate policies, agencies, and regulations. She never thought it would include dealing with natural disasters, and especially not driving around a New York reporter who didn't know the first thing about ranching or agriculture. Sylvia's sister and my friend sat quietly in the back seat as Sylvia talked about ranching and I scribbled down notes. After half an hour through sweeping grasslands, we pulled up to Jeff and Shalane Graham's home. Shalane's family has been on this ranch for generations, since it was homesteaded in the 1800s. After handshakes, introductions, offers of pink lemonade and snacks, we settled down at their dining room table to talk about one of the worst days of their lives. Jeff sat back, arms crossed, with an inscrutable expression on his face. Jeff and his two sons, who came in and out of the kitchen making snacks, wore matching uniforms of plaid shirts and baseball caps pulled down low over their eyes. Shalane, across the table from me, was dressed in a bright pink flowery shirt.
It was just supposed to be a little bit of snow out here, maybe a lot of rain, and that's not what happened.
On October 3rd, a major storm system, which was supposed to blow by, stalled over the western part of the state. Storm Atlas dumped 4 feet of snow on the region over the weekend. 60-mile-per-hour winds ripped through the area, and ground-to-air lightning lit up the sky.
It was snowing so hard you couldn't see 2 feet in front of your nose. You had to light them windows up right there, and you could, you couldn't see nothing, but you could, it looked like you could see forever because the whole sky was light.
Growing up, my dad would say, if you see lightning towards Sturgis, then you need to be prepared because it's going to be bad. Well, this thing had, it was like end of the world crazy, freaky. This storm had lightning at the end of the storm. It was weird. It made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. But, it shook our house. Mm-hmm. It shook our house, and it's snowing. I've seen it at the beginning of storms, but never. It was weird. We're standing there going, what are we going to do? We're all, our cattle are a long ways from home. On that stretch up there, that barren, flat country, there aren't very many of them mm-hmm. that lived. I mean, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be worse, but there really wasn't anything we could do.
Tremendous blizzards are nothing new to these ranchers. But Atlas was early. October 3rd. There hadn't even been a frost yet that year. Cattle usually have a chance to grow woolly coats before the first snow falls. Atlas didn't give them that chance.
And if that storm would have been 2 weeks later, it probably would have had a whole different outcome mm-hmm. because those are usually the 2-3 weeks where people are selling and starting to come home. And it was just at the very front of the transition, and that's why it hit as hard as it did, I think.
October is selling time in the ranch business, which made Atlas all the more devastating. A rancher's main investment is their cows. Cows stay on the ranch and are bred to produce calves once a year. When the calves are grown enough, they're sold and eventually become the steak on your plate. A ranching year goes like this. Calves are born in February, March, and April. Throughout the summer, cows graze on the open, green expanses of summer pastures, and the calves nurse and grow. In June, the cows are bred for the next year, and by the first few weeks in October, the calves are big and strong enough to graze on their own. They are either sold at weaning time or taken aside to grow out on the ranch. Once the calves are sold, the herd is moved to protective winter pastures that are closer to home and have gullies, valleys, and creeks, places that provide shelter from the worst winter storms.
10 days, we had them consigned at Faith to sell, and that's why they were in the pasture they were in, because there's a set of corrals. That's why they were in the pasture they were in, because in 10 days we were going to put them on the truck and take them to the sale barn, and we were going to sell them.
With no protection on the open summer pastures, the cattle wandered for miles until they couldn't go anymore, blinded by snow and battered by hurricane-force winds.
If you happen to hit a highway or a road, it seemed like some of them cattle fared a little better than the ones that got trapped in the fence corner or ran into a reservoir or a creek or, you know, a lot of it's just where they ended up.
When the storm ended, it left behind unspeakable destruction.
When he saw what he saw and came in and he said, we lost everything. And I said, no, we didn't. He said, yeah, we lost everything.
Before Atlas, Jeff and Shalane had 344 pairs, a cow and her calf. This was their livelihood.
We lost 305 cows and 304 calves is what we lost. Over the course of
36 hours.
36 so hours.
Just a day and a half.
36 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were gone. And if we would have known, we would have never left them in that pasture. That's our summer pasture. And they were just scared. They didn't know in that pasture where to go to protect their babies. They didn't know where to go. Because they've never, ever weathered that kind of a storm in that summer pasture.
The landscape was blanketed in death. Every field, every bend, every hollow, every fence corner, every gully, as far as the eye could see. The land that Shalane grew up on, their routes to school and home and church, were littered with bodies.
How many did you end up burying on your place?
Just show.
A lot.
You really want to know?
Shalane got up from the dining room table and started searching through papers. She sat back down and slid a piece of paper across the table.
That's how many we buried. Yeah, in 8 days. It's too hard to say.
1,346.
And there are a lot of them we didn't necessarily bury. It was other people's cattle that ended up on us. You know, I mean, cattle that might have been 7, 8, 10 miles away. You know what I mean? They just went until they couldn't go no more.
We drug cows until they cracked the back's axle.
I heard that.
And Jeff went driving it and just was like, oh, it's all right. It's probably not what we should have been doing is dragging 1,500-pound cows that are full of water. The boys, they grew up very fast. He didn't want them up there burying, and I'm glad that he didn't. And he didn't want them up there seeing the piles and all the magnitude. I mean, they saw enough of it generally because it was everywhere, but ours was, it was a lot. And there was one morning that Jade, who's our 15-year-old, he was not happy because he wanted to help. And I remember Jeff saying, you know what, someday if you choose to run this ranch, I don't want this to stay with you, because once you see some of this stuff, you don't get rid of it. They found 17 head. Mm-hmm. And that was exciting for us who had lost most of what we had. 17 head was pretty awesome. I was never so excited. But there was a pair. Jeff said the only pair. So this mama had saved her baby and kept her baby with her and close to her, which is a miracle, because the rest of the 15 or 17, I mean, they were just all, you know, walking zombies out there. And how hard she had to work to keep him alive. And to that point, he just took a big breath and laid down and died right as they were moving him home. And that cow just kept turning around and
looking,
calling for her baby.
And we're not alone.
We aren't alone.
That's the thing.
You can go 20 minutes from here and find the same story.
No, our story
is crazy.
That's what's
crazy.
Which in a way is ensuring that maybe we didn't do something wrong. You beat yourself up thinking, well, boy, I was dumb. I done something wrong. But I think it's ensuring knowing that maybe you did all you could do.
Because you spent enough time asking yourself that question anyway. Yeah.
A month. He didn't sleep. We didn't sleep.
What if I could have done this, or why didn't I do that? And at that time, you know, we thought we was alone. As the week goes by, you realize that this was pretty rough. I mean, it hit a lot of people.
Yeah. That part, when that part was done, that's when we really started to heal. That's when you started to heal. And then when you started healing, then I kind of fell apart. Because I had been trying to be strong for you until you were strong, and then I kind of had my turn. We all kind of had our turn to fall apart. Pastor West showed up and gave us much needed counseling that we needed. But one of the first things that he said to us was, you need to be able to receive. Pointed his finger right at him and said, you know, you need to be able to say yes, and you need to be able to receive. And it's going to be hard, but you need to do it.
One of the first drops in a flood of support came from the Stock Growers Association Ranchers Relief Fund.
We wrote checks for a total of $4.2 million. That was one of the coolest things I ever got to do. Yeah, that was awesome. Close to half of it, 48% of it, came from right here in South Dakota, which is just, it was people here who gave to people to help their own.
Our cowboy attitude, you know, coming together and helping in any way that they can. It's mind-blowing how much money the Rancher Relief raised in that short period of time. The amount of relief that we so desperately needed just to be able to breathe. I mean, he took a breath, and it was a lot. It was a lot, and it was able to help us. I mean, we still have land loans, and we had debt on those cows, and getting that check was pretty awesome, wasn't it? And Miss Sylvia was a huge instrumental part. I'll sing her praises all day long.
Support came from near and far. Jeff's family, ranchers in Wyoming, gave them 30 pair. A pastor and a football star drove all the way up from Alabama to deliver some heifers. Ranchers from North Dakota, South Dakota, even Washington came to give what they could.
When ranchers give, they don't give their junk. They gave the best of what they had. Talk about having good stock to start over with.
And with the heifers came stacks of cards and letters, words of kindness, love, and support. May is branding season, and this year, Jeff and Shalane branded a patchwork herd of love.
He knows exactly where they came from, if they came from North Dakota, or if they came from Aberdeen, or if they came from Wyoming, or whatnot. But those little calves were just a breath of wonderful, fresh spring air. You know, new life is a beautiful thing. That was really another step of healing for me, was to see, you know, new life on the ranch again.
I mean, it's our livelihood, you know. This is what we do. I mean, we do the best we can, because without them, we don't have anything.
Why do you do what you do?
I don't know any better. it's just a way of life. It's a good place to raise a family.
What are your hopes for the next 5 years?
We're still here. Keep plugging away and make it work. It's what we thought was normal a year ago is different, you know, but I mean, it really hasn't changed the way we do things. The direction we was headed before that's not the direction we're taking now. We're going another way, so.
We need to get rid of land debt. If we could do that, our kids will be in better shape if they choose this way of life. And one thing that I have learned through all of this is we get to be here. Growing up, you know, there's a lot of pride. There's a lot of pride that goes into being on the Levine Ranch. And after Storm Atlas, what I've learned is we get to be here. We're placed here. This is what we're called to do. It's more about the opportunity to do what we do and the privilege to do what we do. It's going to be different for me than it was, I think, for my dad and for my grandpa. Because in just one storm, everything can be taken from you just like that.
I think sometimes people think, well, the And not just the beef producers, but all egg products just come from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, you just walk downtown and it's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's more people realize that we're actually here maybe after something like this than, you know, I mean, without us, the grocery stores aren't gonna last long. I mean, the shelves would get pretty empty in a hurry.
You should feel very blessed that you are getting all of this. I think this is the first time we've sat down and told all of it to somebody other than our family. So, what else? No, I'm not. You are.
As we drove back to Sturgis, we took the long way around. On that beautiful late May afternoon, it was impossible to imagine the death and carnage that had covered this land just a few months prior. The only signs were some broken fences and telephone poles, and the hills in the distance, scarred with large brown rectangles of packed earth, the final resting places of thousands and thousands of cattle. We passed the one-room schoolhouse where Shalane went to school. Sylvia and Shalane chatted about how Jade was nervous about starting high school in Sturgis next year. Prairie dogs poked their heads out of the ground, but I couldn't keep my eyes off of the enormous white mountains of clouds in the wide blue sky. For Heritage Radio Network, I'm Meredith Hodnott.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.